All right, so welcome back to Mythology and Malarkey with me, Caleb Cruz. If you're hearing this, that means you've probably stomached through my first episode and still decided to come back for more. Even though I'm actually writing this before creating the first episode, I commend and thank you. As usual, we're going to delve into different mythological stories, talk about the cultural significance of the story, and all while I do my absolute best to keep you entertained. This time we'll be going over the Egyptian story of Ra, another creation story. I've always loved Egyptian mythology for as long as I can remember. So let's get started. In the beginning, there was no land, only darkness, a great wasteland of water called Nun. The power of Nun was so great that it birthed a shining egg. This egg was named Ra. I don't exactly understand how an abyss of nothingness creates a glowing egg with the sun god inside of it, but that's what we're working with. Ra was all-powerful, and all of his power stemmed from a secret name, which every Egyptian god had. He could also speak names into existence with his power. He was Khafre at dawn, Ra at noon, and Atum in the evening. This was the first cycle of the sun going across the sky as he uttered those words. It was believed that he had changed forms between each of these names at each cycle of the day. Ra then spoke Egypt into creation, first starting with the wind, then the rain, the earth, the sky, and the Nile River. Each of those elements I just listed has a god and a name associated with them, but they're not entirely important to the story, and they're incredibly difficult to pronounce, so I just omitted them. He made himself a human and became the first pharaoh, ruling over Egypt for thousands of years, all with great prosperity. After enough thousands of years, Ra had started to grow old as a man. The people he was in control of started to ignore and mock him. They laughed at him, insulting him by saying, "Look at him, his bones are like silver, his flesh like gold, and his hair the color of lapis lazuli." Some of the more creative insults I've ever heard, but it was enough to make Ra angry to consider genociding all of them through his daughter, Sekhmet. He gathered all the gods and asked for permission to do so, and once Nun, the god that created him, gave him permission, he birthed his daughter, the lioness goddess, to be used as a weapon of vengeance against humanity. Sekhmet slaughtered all those who disobeyed and mocked Ra. She rejoiced in the killing of humans. She found joy in the slaughter and pleasure in their blood. It's written that the Nile ran red for many nights as Sekhmet killed all of the humans. After seeing all of this bloodshed, Ra felt pity for the humans. He didn't think that they deserved all of this just for insulting him a little bit. So he felt the need to stop Sekhmet, but he knew that no one was strong enough to stop his daughter, not even himself. So he decided to use trickery instead. He ordered his messengers to grab a lot of red pigment from this random isle at the end of the Nile, and he had the pigment mixed with a ton of beer that was just kind of on some standby unimportant city. After the beer had been mixed with the pigment, it looked like blood. They took the beer blood and flooded the city that Sekhmet had planned to slaughter the next day. When the sun rose, Sekhmet arrived at that city and didn't see a single person and saw the streets flooded with the blood beer. In her joy, she became drunk from drinking the beer which she had believed to be blood. She had not killed a single person that day. She came back to Ra, incredibly drunk, and that somehow made her vulnerable to change. As I mentioned earlier, names carry a significant amount of weight and power in Egyptian mythology. Ra renamed Sekhmet to Hathor, and with that rename, her temperament had changed to become the sweetness of love and the strength of desire. Hathor's festival was celebrated every year with red-tinted beer in order to celebrate the change from Sekhmet to Hathor and to celebrate Ra for saving mankind, despite the fact that he put them in that situation to begin with because he didn't have very thick skin. I'd love to see how Ra does in the modern-day internet. Ra had saved mankind, and he continued to rule just the way things were before, despite his growing age. The story has a decent chunk of cultural significance behind it, as Ra stays the main god of Egyptian mythology for the entirety of its lifespan. Other gods sometimes change with interpretations or time periods, but Ra always stays consistent as the all-powerful sun god, the main god of Greek mythology. As Ra got old, he started to spittle, just like every old man, and the goddess Isis took his spit, mixed it with the dirt, and created the first cobra, the only creature not made by Ra. Ever since then, the cobra became a symbol of royalty worn by the pharaoh. After Ra's death, which is a whole nother complex story that I did not feel like getting into this episode, it is believed that Ra sails across the sky in a boat each day, and that is the rising and the setting of the sun. Egyptians believe that every night he was forced to fight a massive serpent of darkness, Apophis, and each time Ra won the battle, the sun would cycle as normal. When it stormed and the sun didn't come out that day, it was believed that Apophis had won the battle, and Ra was not able to sail across the sky. And on days of the solar eclipse, it was believed that Apophis had swallowed Ra's boat whole. The sun boats must have been pretty expendable, though, considering he was still able to get another sky boat for the next day. That just about finishes up this episode. Going over the creation story of Egyptian mythology was a lot of fun for me, because it's been quite a while since I've actually read over Egyptian mythology. We mainly focused on the sun god Ra this episode, but I'd say it's pretty fitting that he got his own episode, because he's just that important to Egyptian mythology. Next episode, I'll be going over some Norse mythology that I have yet to decide. I think it'll be interesting, because I'm completely unfamiliar with Norse mythology. So be sure to check it out if you like Vikings or something like that. Thanks for sticking with me to the end. Until next time.